Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shri Balir Vacha Satyam Bhagavata Gokam Dharmayam Vihamehinam Artham Kamam Yasho Vrittim Yana Bhagavata Harhichit Shri Balir Vacha Satyam Bhagavata Proktam Dharmoyam Vihamehinam Artham Kamam Yasho Vrittim Yona Bhadheta Karhichit Shri Balir Vacha Satyam Bhagavata Proktam Dharmoyam Vihamehinam Artham Kamam Yasho Vrittim Yona Bhadheta Karhichit Balir Vacha Bali Maharaj said, Satyam, it is truth, Bhagavata, by your greatness, Proktam, what has already been spoken, Dharmaha, a religious especially for the householders. Martin, economic development. Carmen, sense gratification. Yeshaha, Victim, reputation, and means of livelihood. Yaha, rich religious principle. Na, not. Balkata, hinders. Harvichid, at any time. Bali Maharaj said, as you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame, and means of livelihood is the real occupational duty of the household. I also think that this religious principle is correct. Bali Maharaj's grave answer to Shukracharya is meaningful. Shukracharya stressed that one's material means of livelihood and one's material reputation, sense gratification, and economic development must continue properly. To see to this is the first duty of a man who is a householder, especially one who is interested in material affairs. If a religious principle does not affect one's material condition, it's to be accepted. At the present time, in this age of Kali, this idea is extremely prominent. No one is prepared to accept any religious principle if it hampers material prosperity. Shukracharya, being a person of this material world, did not know the principles of a devotee. A devotee is determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his full satisfaction. Anything that hampers such determination should certainly be rejected. This is the principle of bhakti. Annapurya sankalpa pratikurya bhagavan. To perform devotional service, one must accept only that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. Bali Maharaj had the opportunity to contribute everything he possessed to the lotus feet of Lord Vamandev. But Shukracharya was putting forward a material argument to hamper this process of devotional service. Under the circumstances, Bali Maharaj decided that such hindrances should certainly be avoided. In other words, he decided immediately to reject the advice of Shukracharya and go on with his duty. Thus he gave all his possessions to Lord Vamandev.
Timirandhasya Janjana Shalakaya Chakshunyitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovrittam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaikyam Tadhati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jita Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanditam Stamsadivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Purishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamscha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dheena Bandho Jagatpate चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्री बलिवाच सत्यम भगवता प्रोक्तम धर्मोऽयं गृहमेहि नाम अर्थम कामं यशो वृत्तिं यो न बाधेत कार्यचित्। So, Bali Maharaj agrees, yes, this proposition is all right, but then he'll argue that by going against my word, I'll become infamous. Yasha, artam kamam yashau vrittim. One should act in such a way that one becomes, that one's good reputation will continue. Kirtan yasya sajivati. One who has a good reputation goes on living. But, and therefore Bali Maharaj actually, even now we're sitting and reciting the activities of Bali Maharaj, the glories of Bali Maharaj. If he'd agreed with Shukracharya's proposition, we'd be speaking about him in the same way as his ancestor Hiranyakashipu, infamous. Sri Ramananda Rai, while talking with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was asked, who is actually famous? What's real fame? Famous is to be known as a devotee of the Lord. That reputation is wanted. The reputation for being a great materialist, a great money maker, a great businessman, that will be finished very soon. And anyway, it simply means a great exploiter. How clever we are, how capable we are at exploiting the material energy. That reputation will not actually help us. Prabhupada said, we want a certificate from Krishna. This man has done some service. That we want, not a certificate from the materialists, this prize, this award. That's not very important. But to be recognized by Krishna, this man has done some service. That is substantial. Bali Maharaj is famous for Atmanivedanam, complete self-sacrifice. That's the thing that's wanted. Satyam bhagavata proktam dharma ayam kriyamedinam. For the materialistic householders, your dharma artha kama is alright. These are the principles. But Bali Maharaj says that bhakti is more important than all of these other dharmas. Sarva dharman bhachaja, manu. For materialistic life, this dharma, that dharma, this principle, that principle. Dharma, especially with, they're interested in dharma for artha. Or they're interested in artha, and dharma can be accommodated to the extent that it doesn't interfere with artha. If dharma will help us in artha, then it's very good. Otherwise, at least if dharma doesn't get in the way of artha, then it's still all right. But if there's a conflict between dharma and artha, artha. But in Bhagavatam, dharmasya yapavargasya nato kayopakopate. Dharmasya dharmaikantasya kamalabhaya. He's for dharma.
Karma is actually meant for getting free from the miseries of material existence, free from our false situation as exploiters of this material world, free from false ego, free from false possessiveness. And this is the real purpose of karma. Tamasya yata vaidasya. Not for a diet of all the day. Not for the sake of making money, making money, making money. Maratasya. Dhamma. I ekantasya. Karma labhaya nismita. It's not for sense gratification. In the estimation of the materialist, karma is very good if it contributes. You know, if motivated by karma, one does some public service, one does some philanthropic work, one votes for the dharmic party, then karma is very good. But if one actually wants to surrender, if one wants to have nice schools so the children can be trained to be nice little karmis, and know some slokas, and be able to recite yada yada hi dharma syaltra, that's all. They want some glorified karmis who know a little, a few slokas, a little bit of something religious. But if their child becomes motivated or inspired to surrender to Krishna, then they take the side of Hiranyakashipu. What is this nonsense? They're going to the teachers. What are you doing? You're ruining my child's life. What is this nonsense? Prabhupada didn't like schools. He liked Gurukul. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasan Bhante Gurukul. We teach your child how to become a slave. How to become a slave of the spiritual master. Because otherwise you'll send him to the school and he'll learn how to be a slave of his boss. A slave of a multinational corporation, a slave of the government, a slave of some other employer. And for his, but he'll be a paid slave, that's all, he'll get money. If he becomes a slave of the spiritual master is not going to pay him anything. Prabhupada said so many times, I am not bribing these boys, I have no money. Especially American boys, how can you bribe them? As Prabhupada wrote somewhere, the devotees have a secret treasure house in the lotus feet of the Lord. They have a secret treasure house in the lotus feet of the Lord. Your wages will be lost. First of all, they're lost right off the top. So much you have to give to the government, so much you have to give here, so much you have to give there, all obligations. Then you have a little money still left. But even if you have lacks and crores, it will all be taken away. Mitchu Sarvaharashtram. Then you have to go to your next life without your money. And who knows? You get to go to your next life with all the sinful reactions accrued by accumulating the money, and the money stays back. What a deal.
But when one becomes
becomes Krishna conscious, then his pay is the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna says, I give myself to my pure devotee. What would you rather have, Krishna, or some money? The tiniest ankle bell on Krishna's lotus feet is worth more than all the jewelry and treasure of this world. Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Sevyanam. Thousands and thousands of Lakshmis are attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna and want to serve him. This is the real business of human life, to revive that natural dormant love for Krishna. That should be the Kamasanendriya Pritya Bhava Jiveta Yadata Jivasya Tetra Jigyasa Nartoya Shaya Kamadi. This should be the real business of life, how to get out of this entanglement and illusion. Not how to get deeper in, or how to succeed in illusion. How to get out of illusion. How to understand that I'm not this body, that I'm spirit soul, that I'm servant of Krishna, that my life is not meant for sense gratification, it's meant for going back home, back to Godhead. This is real education, and this is real progress of human civilization. Everything else is nonsense. And therefore, Bali Maharaj, although superficially accepting, yes, yes, this is all right, rejected the whole proposition. And our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for that. But we're not here to help people become more materially prosperous. We're not here to be philanthropists, or to be humanitarians, or to be great philosophers. We're here to try to revive our eternal love for Krishna and the eternal, what we probably call the eternal serving mood. So for that reason, we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What questions?
Many times the devotees, they start the career.
The devotees what?
Many times devotees start career.
Start their career.
Thinking that they will use it in service of Krishna. But as they go on, the kind of consciousness which they started, they don't continue with that. And due to weakness of heart, they are not able to utilize the resources which they have obtained in service of Krishna. So how to get out of this weakness of heart?
Yeah, we think that I'm going to have a career and then I'll use the career for Krishna, but instead the career uses you. You become the servant, you become career das. So for that, one needs the association of devotees and the guidance and blessings of the bona fide spiritual master, so that one will be rightly guided. Either he'll learn how to use these things in Krishna's service properly, or he'll say, what is the use? I'm just going to get entangled. Why should I become a slave to these things? Either way is all right. If you use your career for Krishna, it's very good. But if you neither use the career for Krishna, nor become Krishna conscious, then what's the use of anything? anything like that. Everything is meant for being used for Krishna. If I can't use it for Krishna, if instead it becomes something else, I become the servant of the thing, then what is the use of it? Everything should be used for Krishna. Aren't there expert clients? And with a strong association of devotees, that will help us. Is that all right?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, as you were mentioning, that Prabhupada did not like schools. But we see we do have some schools managed by ISKCON. Like in Bombay we have 2-3 schools, in Vrindavan we have schools. And the thing is that if we don't open our own schools, if we don't have our own schools, then the congregation children, they will go somewhere else, in convent schools and somewhere else.
If we don't provide a karmic school, then they'll go to a karmic school elsewhere. So we should provide karmic schools for them.
So my question is, do we need ISKCON managed schools? Do we need ISKCON managed schools? We should give some shloka and some culture.
Yeah, do we want to set up nice little karmi schools where the children will learn government syllabus, get a good government syllabus education with some nice shlokas and maybe an RT and something? Do we want to do that? Well, I don't know what we want to do, but I know what Prabhupada wanted to do. Here in Bombay, the life members wanted to start such a school. They were ready to fund it. They were, practically begging, but we need a school, and Prabhupada refused. He was not interested or willing to do it. Therefore, during Prabhupada's time, there was no such school. He didn't want it. But the school was Gurukul in Vrindavan, and it was not, and Prabhupada had nothing to do with government syllabus. Nothing to do with the government syllabus. One time he said that the result of Gurukul education is that they'll be useless for any employment. His children will be useless for any employment. Well, because employment means shudra. Employment means you're the servant. Paid servant of someone, that's called shudra. Maybe high paid servant, maybe technologically skillful servant, but servant. Prabhupada didn't want his servants to train servants of material masters. He wanted to train servants of Krishna. For that, he wanted Gurukul, not government syllabus. If we don't have tennis courts for the children and the congregation, then they'll have their own tennis courts. If we don't have this, it's not our business. Prabhupada didn't like compromise, and he didn't like schools. Is that okay?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. Maharaj, my question is, Hari Maharaj has spoken about...
You have to speak closer to the microphone.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. Hari Maharaj has spoken about bhakti. We understand that it's difficult to have bhakti in heart unless and until we are humble. We have humility in heart. So how to develop that humility in heart?
Bhakti is not just a feeling. How do you develop humility in heart and the spirit of bhakti? Bhakti is not just a feeling. It's a system of practical activities. It's a science of practical activity that revives our Krishna consciousness. We may not have much humility, we may not have much devotion, we may not have much anything good, but if we follow the system of reformation given by the Shastras and delivered by the spiritual master, then we can come to the right point. In the beginning, it's understood. We won't have a lot of devotion, we won't have a lot of humility, we won't have a lot of the good qualities of the devotee, but maybe we'll have some interest. Aho Shraddha. Little faith, a little interest. Then, next thing is Sadhu Sangha to associate with devotees. That will help us make further progress. Then Bhajana Kriya, to take up the systematic activities of devotion and service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Then we see the progress really moving forward. Anatta Nivritti, the unwanted things in the heart are cleansed away. One gets firm faith, attachment, up to Bhagavad Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you were mentioning that we are not here for teaching bhakti. Teaching bhakti or giving bhakti to people. We are not here for...
We're not here for teaching bhakti?
Yeah. I complete, Maharaj.
I didn't say that. Go ahead.
We are not here for teaching bhakti so that their material prosperity increases.
Yeah.
At the same time, we come across this thought that we see that some people may be interested in that partially. In the beginning, some people may be interested in this only partially in the beginning. So, and also if you don't facilitate them, we don't preach that you do this, but at the same time, they are at that level. If you don't facilitate, so then how will that happen? Which way the thought will come across that what lifetimes they will go?
So, we don't object if you have. If you're engaged in making money, you have a career, your householder does have to make something. But that's not our business. We're not here to show you how to be more successful in your career, how to make you, how to create love for all your, this or that. I mean, we're not into so many, we're not meant for all those things. We actually look for Kevala Bhakti, pure Bhakti. And these other things are mixed in. So we don't have to teach you how to mix the stuff in. You already know that. We don't need to teach you how to improve the ingredients that you're mixing in. That's your business. We're going to give you the real thing, the ultimate thing. And even teach you how to gradually move away from the unwanted things. Even if you're prosperous, the most prosperous devotees who are advanced don't care about the prosperity. Let me just give that to Krishna, because what will I get from holding on to it? That means the bhakti has become more strong than prosperity. Otherwise, some prosperity and a little jai jagadisha, that's all. That's the whole, I was going to say the whole world, but no. Mostly they're interested in prosperity, and if they're religious, then the religion is all right if it contributes to prosperity or doesn't get in the way. Anything beyond that, oh, no. Religion is blocking my prosperity. So, we'll trim it back. We're not meant for helping in that project of decorating your material life with a few little bhakti blossoms. A few little dharma blossoms and on your material existence. No, that's not our job. That's the business of Shukracharya. Really, that was his business. That he has a disciple, and he's a nice rich disciple too, chanting, and my business is to teach him some dharma, and some rituals, and some, you know, a little of this, a little of that, some wisdom for improving his life, and teach him not to surrender to the personality of God. That's Shukracharya's business. And there's so many Shukracharyas. How many family priests are there whose only business is to encourage their disciple materially and collect some dakshina and a few religious rituals. You go to any holy place, you sit down, and they'll show you how to do it. Okay, swaha, 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 swaha. Now spin around 3 times and give me some money. What is Bhagavatam for? To kick out all this rubbish. And what is that rubbish? Sridhar Swami says, Dharmartha Kama Moksha. That's the rubbish. It's kicked out of Sridhar Bhagavatam. Dharma means something. Nimatsaranam Satam. For the non-envious pure devotees. Distinguishing between Maya and reality. Vajam Vastava Matra Vastu Shidram, therefore giving real benefit to human society. And Tapatraya and the Mulanam, we don't want to get you deeper into trouble. The threefold miseries of life. We want to uproot them. Otherwise, there's so many religious organizations, and mostly this is their business, to encourage material life with a little decoration of the Dharma. And if that's what we do, then we're as useless as they are.
Maharaj, you were mentioning that how Guru teaches slavery. So I was just thinking that a person of Kshatriya nature, a person of Kshatriya nature, how Guru will teach him slavery? He's a Kshatriya nature. Just like
the king of sons used to go to the Gurukul. It wasn't only the Brahmins. Brahmacharya Gurukule, the sons of the kings would go to the, just like Krishna. Okay, he was sometimes known as a Vaishya, but when he was a Kshatriya, his father sent him to the ashram of Sandipani Muni, where he was carrying firewood for his guru and doing menial service. His father, his adopted father, was a big wealthy man, thousands and thousands of cows and property, and his father by birth was a Kshatriya. But Krishna didn't come to the ashram and say, my father is a very wealthy man, my one father is a very wealthy man, my other father is a Kshatriya. By your good fortune, they've sent me here. He was serving like a menial servant. And therefore the kings were like sages, Rajarshis. There was a question in the back, I think.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, how does a new devotee get steadiness in devotion, especially if he is demotivated and he is not seeing any direct benefits?
How does a new devotee become
devoted to Krishna, especially if he is not getting any direct benefits? He is not seeing any direct benefits.
Initially, we are not getting any direct benefits.
He is being demotivated by various...
He is demotivated by so many other things.
Right.
Yes. Some benefit you must get, otherwise why will you come? If you feel that you're coming and you're not getting any benefit, you won't come back. Right? So those who are more intelligent, they'll come and they'll see, no, there's benefit here. I'm getting knowledge from this literature. I'm getting happiness by chanting Hare Krishna. I'm getting purification of heart. I'm getting association with those who are turned toward the Supreme. I'm getting a happy diet, Krishna Prasada. I'm learning a happy way of life, pure way of life. How is that not beneficial?
While he might be trying to gain steadiness in his devotional service, sometimes he gets demotivated by the external factors. So
sometimes he's trying to get steadiness, he gets demotivated by external factors. Therefore, one, avoid the external factors as much as possible. Our advice is don't associate intimately with the materialists. Don't go to the places they go for the purposes for which they go there. Associate more with the devotees. Associate more with the devotees. The devotees are steadily performing devotional service. By their association, you'll steadily perform devotional service. On your own, you'll find it more difficult. Sometimes you'll feel like doing it, sometimes you'll feel demotivated by external factors. But if you associate with the devotees who are regularly hearing, chanting, serving, then you'll get their enthusiasm will rub off on you and you'll feel the same way. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
What if those external factors are your what if those external factors are your own blood relatives, like your mother, your father, your wife?
What if those external factors are your own blood relatives?
Right.
Well, you know they say blood is thicker than water. And Krishna consciousness is thicker than blood. So the same thing, seek the association of those who are Krishna conscious. Alright, you have your family duties, which you have to continue, but not expand unlimitedly. And in the association of devotees, get the inspiration and the knowledge how to deal with all of these things.
Because they are a major hinder.
Because?
They are a major hinder in your bhakti, right?
They're a major hindrance?
Yes.
Yeah, major hindrance. If they're not Krishna conscious, if they're averse to Krishna consciousness, yes, they're a major hindrance. So depending which relatives they are, we have different strategies for dealing with them. But not that we have to do what they want. Just as Bali Maharaj, he had his guru. Gurus as important, more to be respected than my relatives. But when his guru was a hindrance to bhakti, then no, I'm not going to follow your direction. I'm not going to follow. So again, one has to decide what's most important. Bali Maharaj decided devotional service is the most important. So then whatever helps devotional service, I'll accept. Whatever hinders devotional service, I'll reject.
Koti koti dhanyavad. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Everything depends on the microphone. Thank you.
So we see society at large is changing so much rapidly.
Society is changing so much rapidly.
So how do we present our Krishna consciousness to people at large?
Same way.
Not compromising.
Same way. It's not that because they're changing so rapidly, we have to change. The problem came to like India now. You're changing so rapidly that maybe you're something like America in the 1960s. In terms of social values. They probably didn't come to America and say, oh, they're Americans, so we have to present something other than devotional service. He presented devotional service. He presented four rules to people who were, whose life was to break these four rules. Intoxication is the way of life. Illicit sex is the goal of life. Meat eating is the diet. Gambling, maybe they gamble but not so much. Or depending if you include, you know, what is it, idol sports, which Prabhupada included in gambling, then they're big gamblers also. And they were addicted to these things. And Prabhupada said, I thought that when I
they'll say these four rules, they'll say, now you go home. And he said, but I wasn't prepared to compromise. And he said, I mentioned this yesterday, they were like diamond merchants. If you want diamonds, you're the guys. If you want custom jewelry, you know, the fake stuff, go down the street. It's cheaper, you can afford it, but you get what you pay for. If you want the real thing, that's what we give. And therefore, there won't be as many customers. If you sell the cheap stuff, everyone will be your customer, so many people. The only people who won't be your customers are the ones who are looking for real jewelry. And that's the result. When you make your product cheap, the people who are looking for the valuable product will no longer come to you. Because you don't have it. Prabhupada gave the example that in Calcutta there's some really first-class sweet shop. They make everything in ghee, first-class. And people line up to go there. So Prabhupada was in favor of top-quality product. Now, he said a little bit of a pure thing is worth heaps of adulterated things. Our business is not to adulterate bhakti, to make it palatable for the fools. Some, however much things have changed, there are people who want the real thing. And those people will come. And the other may or may not come. We encourage them to come also. We may give them some encouragement. But we can't cheapen our product to suit the weakness of the materialists. Some of the material interests of the fools.
Yes, Maharaj, thank you, Maharaj, for the class. Maharaj, can we derive some practical lessons from Bali Maharaj's rejection of his Guru Shukracharya? Like yesterday also, you were answering to the question of one devotee who asked regarding that my responsibility as a subordinate is in general to follow the instructions of a superior. You said about, you know, otherwise nothing can work actually. So my question is, like last time I remember, Maharaj, you came to Juhu, you mentioned about one American park where in a little, you start making a building, small building, but eventually that park will get destroyed. A little deviation, a little hindrance, you said. So in our practical scenarios, like our seniors or authorities, they may not directly tell us the way how Shukracharya told to Bali Maharaj.
Tell us what?
To reject our, to basically reject Vishnu or Krishna, you know. So can you tell us, Maharaj, how we can then, take some practical lessons in our day-to-day life? Or is this scenario of Bali Maharaj rejecting Shukracharya is only for some extreme scenarios wherein a
the lesson here is not that as Bali Maharaj rejected Shukracharya, you should reject your temple president, reject your GBC man, reject all the senior devotees. That's not the point.
So can we derive some practical lessons in our day-to-day life?
Yeah, sure, practical lessons. The practical lesson is different. Particularly, yes, your Vajra. If it's contrary to devotional service, if it's unfavorable to devotional service, reject that. That was the problem with Shukracharya. It's not that Bali Maharaj was very eager to show his stuff by rejecting his guru. I'm so big that I'll reject my guru. But because his guru was pretty cruel. His guru's instructions were unfavorable for devotional service, then he rejected it. Otherwise, if they'd been unequal, it would have been wonderful. So we don't expect that you come to the Hare Krishna movement and then all the leaders will be pratikul, they'll be teaching you Dharmartha Kama Moksha. The leaders are meant for preaching pure devotional service, and that's what we expect and that's what we generally see.
Otherwise, if you see something wrong, I went to a temple one time, and the temple president had made all the devotees into drug dealers to support the temple, and he was calling it Sankirtan. You know, you go to Sankirtan, to Thailand, and you get some money by this illicit business, and spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. That was what he was preaching. And engaging brahmacharis and, you know, wonderful business. Well, that's practical. Such a person should be thrown out, rejected. And that sort of program should be thrown out, rejected. So if something like that creeps in, then Prabhupada wanted us to be vigilant. That rubbish shouldn't be allowed to creep in through the, you know, under the door, or through the door, or over the door. The thing should be kept pure. And that's one of the functions of the leaders, to see that impure things are kept out, and that the pure things are taken care of nicely.
I have one more question.
One more.
Maharaj, like you said about that in general we should follow our superiors, guru. So like we are ready to follow, but then when we see that, you know, if they have pure motives to get pure devotional service to this devotee, then we are also very happy to follow. But then, if
therefore the leaders should be pure devotees so that we'll be happy to follow them. All the leaders, the Sankirtan leaders, temple officers, pujaris, everyone in every department, leaders should all be pure devotees, then everybody will be very eager to follow them. That's the secret of good management, just be a pure devotee. One secret. You also have to know something about how to manage, but you're halfway there. If you're just pure in heart, then people will be eager to serve you.
So Maharaj, but then on the contrary, when we see that they are guiding us, but they have some motives here and there to somehow, you know, make his ego crash.
Sometimes we see they have motives, there's an ego. But anyway, if it's favorable, you know, maybe he wants to send you out on book distribution because if we get the higher scores, I become the number one book distribution leader. And I get famous, I get recognition. So that's some egotistical taint. And maybe you see that he's thinking, if I send him, my scores will go up for the temple and da 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 da. And I'll be... But you don't care, because your job is to distribute transcendental knowledge, and if his ego is satisfied at the same time, you don't mind. It's still favorable. It's still favorable. In the probationary stage, there may be so many shortcomings that we have. Some ego, some this, that, material desires, whatever. Still, if we're pushing forward the program of Krishna consciousness, that will be good for us and for those who work with us for that purpose. We can't be examining our leaders. Wait a second. I saw this sign of some anartha, so I'm not going to work with you anymore. We may find ourselves to be very lonely people that way. I won't associate with anyone who's not really pure. I'll only associate with myself, however pure I am. So, even if we see something not quite to the point, Sadhu Samanta, where Krishna says, even if you see he's really doing something wrong, so let's just speak of some small thing, we don't mind. Prabhupada saw, he knew his disciples had so many shortcomings, simply push them forward, that will be good. And we are over.
society should start.